Well, sip on this. More than 40% of the bottled water we drink comes from the taps of municipal water systems. And so we ask, why do we pay up to 10,000 times more for city water when it is bottled in plastic?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 522nd edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Geneva who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave.
Glad to be here.
Producer Carol Stafford on the phones. Hello, Carol.
Hello.
Folks, some time ago, I was taken up by the bubbly waters of the Perrier Company. When I took some of the waters home to Montana and introduced it to my father, he took a long swig, held up the bottle to the light, and said, "Son, did you actually pay money for this water?" So no matter how hard I tried, I simply could not sell Father on the idea of spending good money on bubbly water in green bottles. "Hell, son," he said, "you can get perfectly good water right out of the tap, and it costs practically nothing, and you're spending all of this money." Today, we are spending in the neighborhood of $11 billion a year on bottled water in plastic. A huge percentage of that water comes directly out of the taps of municipal water systems. And so we ask, why do we pay up to 10,000 times more for city water when it is bottled in plastic? And today we're going to go in search of answers with author Von Wiesenberg. Did I get that, Wiesenberger?
You got it.
I got
it. Good morning, Michael.
He's the author and of many books and pamphlets and articles on water and also the founder of BottledWaterWeb.com. And BottledWaterWeb.com is kind of like a bottled water industry gathering point, right?
Yeah, we try to get out all the information about the industry and news and also information about bottlers and a lot of articles about what's going on, both from consumer point of view as well as from the industry point of view.
Good. We were talking a little bit before the show about how you became a bottled water man, and it takes you back to Europe and childhood, right?
Yeah, I was living in Italy with my parents, and we didn't get the opportunity of having a lot of soft drinks growing up because they weren't that popular in those days. So when we go out to a restaurant, my parents would always order bottled water. For me, they drink wine. and I quickly became aware that at every small village around Italy, they had different brands of bottled water. It was a very regional business there. And there were some that I really liked a lot and liked the taste, and some I didn't like that much. So I kept a little journal of what I liked and what I didn't like, and that evolved into kind of a passion for water. And when I came to the States, I realized that people weren't drinking a lot of bottled water. But when they did taste it, they thought, gee, this tastes better than the stuff we're getting out of the tap, especially mm-hmm. here in Santa Barbara.
Well, probably true just about any place in the United States. So you were tasting water and kind of watching your parents sip wine and compare notes on wine and doing the same thing with your waters.
Well, in a way, there are very subtle nuances between waters, but there are indeed, and especially in Europe where mineral water has more interest than here in the U.S., so there are a lot of waters that have some real character. And then when you add carbonation to water, either naturally or artificially, there's different levels of carbonation, and that creates an acidic or sharpness or bite to water. So there were different tastes, and some went really well with food. Some were really good after a meal, sort of like a digestive, the Vichy waters, mm-hmm. for example. And others, like you were talking about earlier, Perrier. Perrier was actually a natural mixer that in Europe mostly people would use to mix with fruit juice, or they would mix it with wine sometimes, or Perrier with scotch was really popular for mm-hmm. Most of the French bars.
Had a little bite to it?
Yeah, the carbonation is actually carbonic acid, and that acid gives a little bit of a sharpness. It wakes up your palate.
Wake up. So what makes good drinking water good? I mean, you're the Robert Parker of water, so.
Well, in some cases, it's the absence of things. I mean, as you were saying earlier about the tap water versus bottled water. Why would people pay for water
exactly
when you get it free from the tap?
That's my father's question, you know, looking me right in the eye and said, son, you're spending how much for that bottle of Perrier when you can get it free from the tap?
It's really, in a way, two different things. What comes out of the tap is sometimes quite good. Maybe up in Montana, it's probably quite good because you've got not a lot of industry and a contamination that can get into the water tables. But if you went down to Los Angeles or Detroit or Chicago, you've got a lot of contamination that's in the water tables. And in order to battle that contamination, the municipalities have to put a lot of chemicals in the water, chlorine and a potpourri of other things to take out those contaminants or at least counteract the effects of those contaminants. And those chemicals have taste. The most common one is chlorine, which tastes like the swimming pool to you.
Right, right. Taste and smells, right?
You get
them both ends there.
Exactly. And in the case of bottled water, even if they're using a municipal source as their source, they have to remove all that out before they bottle it, because people wouldn't pay money for water that tastes like chlorine.
Right, of course. But it still comes out of the same taps, right?
In some cases, you know, it really depends on the brand, and you really have to read labels to know whether you're getting a processed water, and it's somewhat disguised, I must say.
Well, we have some bottles here we're going to go through a little bit later in the program, and have you help us read these labels, because I guess it's a little bit like reading the label on a wine bottle, too. There's information there that you can get, but you really have to understand the language to get it.
Yes, the nomenclature is important to understand, and consumers aren't always given all the facts, and you're also sometimes swayed by the designs of labels. You know, they can kind of allude to something that may be a little bit different from what it really is.
Well, you know, there is a thing on your website about having a tasting where you actually taste water from municipal water systems, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? How do you go about doing a tasting?
Well, actually, every year, we're now going into our 17th year, I believe, at Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, we do an annual water tasting in February. And what we do is we taste both municipal waters as well as bottled waters, but in separate flights. And what we'll do is we'll put together a panel of judges, and these are generally people who just are laymen. They don't have to be professional, like wine tasters. But people who can sit down, and I train them as to how you evaluate water. And it's not unlike how you would evaluate wine. There's an appearance factor. You're going to look at the water. In most cases with bottled water, it's perfectly clear. But in some cases with some municipal waters, you're going to have some colorations. You could have some iron in the water, which would give it kind of an orangey, rusty color. Sometimes sulfur may give it some sort of yellow tinges. Or there may be things floating in the water, which mostly will not ever turn up in this water tasting, but that can happen sometimes. Mm-hmm. Then you do an aroma check.
You hold it up to the light and look very carefully for things floating in
yes.
it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to see anything doing a backstroke in your water. And then you do an aroma check where you're trying to perceive the smell of water.
Mm-hmm. And if it has a lot of chlorine in it?
Again, if you have chlorine, you're going to smell that chemical smell. Sometimes it could be other things. It could, other chemicals, it can give you a chemical smell. Sometimes, again, sulfur would give it a rotten egg smell a bit. There's a weed killer that smells like pumpkin. So, again, if you have any aromas in your water, it's not a good thing. Water should be aroma-free. So, again, the absence of anything in your water from a visual point of view and the absence of anything from an aroma point of view is good. Then when you get into taste, it's a little bit different because that's somewhat subjective.
Subjective, right.
And, you know, we have our preferences. I did a water tasting years ago with Professor William Bruvald of UC Berkeley, who really had established the disciplines for water tasting back in the 60s. And we did one for the San Francisco Chronicle in the Bay Area. We got all these tap waters from around the Bay Area, 1980. Well, one water that the Chronicle wanted to throw into the tasting was a bottled water, and they looked for the most expensive brand they could find, and they found one that was about $3.50 for a liter bottle of it, called Contrexeville from France, a very mineralized water.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't do very well in the tasting, because all this was blind. No one knew what they were tasting, and we were just sipping the different waters and rating them on a scale that Bruvald had developed. And at the end of the tasting, we looked at the results, and the one person who gave this French water the highest marks happened to be a Frenchman.
who's probably accustomed to the high mineralization of the water there.
Not only did he was he accustomed with it, this is what he wrote in his notes, this water is the best. It reminds me of home. It turned out to be the water he grew up drinking in France. So we kind of like what we're used to, and,
right.
and you have to take that into account when you do water tastings, and it's probably best to mix up the panel a bit so you don't have everyone who's drinking tap water from one town. Because when they taste that tap water from that one town, they go, ooh, I like this one.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, I want to ask author Von Wiesenberger where the best water comes from with respect to the municipal water systems in the country. And he's been tasting around, probably has a notion. What do you think out there? Why are we paying so much for water in plastic bottles that comes from municipal water taps? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson. We will be right back. Please do stay tuned. Water users, you can reduce your need for water by 30% and more, grow healthier plants, and get rid of calcium carbonate deposits. No, not by magic. By installing an Aquamax catalytic converter in your water line that will induce epitaxial nucleation. Listen.
Hello, I'm Karen Kuhn. My father promised me that if I installed an Aquamax, I could grow grass where I've never been able to grow grass. And it's the truth. Was bare and spotty and is now deep-rooted and healthy. It's wonderful. We use much less water, and the plants look absolutely beautiful.
You can reduce your need for water by 30% and more, grow healthier plants, and eliminate calcium carbonate deposits just by installing an Aquamax on your water line. No chemicals, no filters. Explore the possibility. Go to MetroFarm.com, click on the Aquamax Water Saver banner, and save. That's MetroFarm.com. Welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking water with the water man, author Von Wiesenberger, who is the author and founder, author of many books and founder of the bottledwaterweb.com, an industry website. Boy, did you ever step into an industry that was just exploding.
It was a bit of lucky timing.
Whoa.
Because back in the 1970s, you know, people were just sort of emerging into the concept of buying bottled water, and Perrier really led the boom.
I can remember taking a six-pack of Perrier back to Montana and saying, Dad, look what I got. Boy, did he give me a look.
It was sort of a mystery to a lot of people why people would pay money for water.
Pay money for water when there it is right in the tap. What happened to Perrier along the way?
Well, Perrier's had an enormous success early on. In the 70s, it became the water of choice. It became synonymous with kind of disposable income and the
right.
And the I guess it was the baby boomers' great success. It was Studio 54.
Look at this, we can drink water out of bottles. Yeah,
you'd see celebrities drinking it at parties. It became the alternative to soft drinks, to alcohol, to a lot of things. And everything was going along just wonderfully until they had a problem in 1990 in which there were traces of benzene discovered in some random bottles that were checked. And they didn't know where it came from, and unfortunately for Perrier, it took a while for them to uncover what the cause was. And as you know, the media has a real appetite for
right,
uncovering what might be a potential scandal. And the biggest problem was that Perrier didn't have the answer right away. So it was never a health problem. These were traces of benzene that were in microscopic amounts. But nonetheless, because Perrier stood for purity, it shouldn't have been there.
It shouldn't have been there.
It turned out to be not the water, but the gas that caused the benzene problem. And the gas was a natural CO2 gas, in which, because it was coming out of the earth, there's other gases that come out as well. And they had a filter that was supposed to filter out the other gases, but the filter hadn't been changed. So a little tiny thing like that caused a public relations nightmare. There was never a health issue because, to kind of put it in perspective, a full bottle of Perrier, the amount of benzene in that water would be less than you would find in a slice of a tomato.
Huh. Well, you know, with respect to contamination, the Environmental Working Group looked at the drinking waters of municipalities in 42 states and found 140 unregulated chemicals, 119 regulated chemicals. That's in the drinking waters of these municipalities. My goodness, how does one find out what's in one's drinking water? Is that possible?
You can ask your local municipality to send you an analysis of the water. They're meant to test it continuously, and that will tell you in broad terms what's in the water, at least at the testing station. Some of the problems that exist with the municipal water systems is the distribution from the from where the water is treated to the actual spigot where it comes out in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Because along the way, a lot of things can happen. In fact, I was just there's an issue that just happened in Hillsboro in North Carolina yesterday, in which the town was told not to drink any of their tap water without boiling it because there was low or no pressure in the distribution system. And when the pressure drops, there's a potential for back siphonage and the introduction of bacteria into the water system. So, again, you know, and then some older homes, we may not have as many here on the West Coast, but in the East Coast, you've got homes that have older piping where there's lead.
Yeah.
And if water sits in that pipe for any period of time, it can leach the lead out, and you can find that what comes out of your tap is much different than what's reported and not helpful.
Well, you've looked at and tasted waters from all over the country. Where does the best drinking water come from with respect to the municipal water systems?
Well, a couple that have always done well in the Berkeley Springs water tasting event have been Ohio. Kent, Ohio, actually.
Kent, Ohio.
Did very, very well. And Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Atlantic City, New Jersey?
Places you wouldn't necessarily think would be known for their water have done very well. And also in California, there's been some great success in communities like Desert Hot Springs out in the desert. They've placed very high in the tastings over the years. And I think that's because the water really goes just through the sand, and sand is a wonderful natural filter.
Right.
And it doesn't pick up any kind of contaminants out there.
Huh. So what about places that have a lot of rain, like Washington?
I think Washington has done well, but it's never finished in the top. They also have some, Washington State has some wonderful bottled waters and that have done very well. There's one that's called Serac that's from the glacier up on Mount Rainier. And that water has been heralded as being very unique tasting and it's glacial runoff.
Yeah, you know, in the National Resources Defense Council says roughly 40% of the drinking water in bottles is coming from municipal water taps. Is that still true?
That sounds about right. It depends on the industry is continually evolving, and that report that was done by NRDC was back in the 90s.
Yeah, 99, but, I think it was.
Yeah. But the, I certainly think with the companies such as Aquafina and Dasani, which are, you know, respectively Pepsi-Cola's water brand and Coca-Cola's water brand,
right,
which are both from municipal water sources, that number probably is about accurate.
Wow, and they're probably the big boys, right?
And those are the big boys. And they sell a lot of that water.
Before we go on into bottled waters, I'd like to ask you a question about tertiary water, sewage plant water that's been treated and pumped back into the food chain. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, I try to avoid it, personally.
Okay.
So
much for that, right?
Right. I mean, I think in the world of bottled water, you're always sort of in quest of the purest source, and if you start out clean, you end up having a good product. If you have to change something and manipulate it in order to make it pure, there's always a chance of problems along the way.
Well, let's go to the bottled water industry then. And boy, like I said earlier, you were really surfing a big wave when you came into this country and started writing about bottled water, because it was just becoming a phenomenon here, and Perrier led the way. How did it explode into such a huge industry? I mean, we're spending $11 billion a year buying drinking water in plastic bottles. What on earth happened?
Well, I think a number of things happened. There was definitely a dawning of awareness in America of a number of things. One was health trends. People were much more aware of we are what we eat, we are what we drink. And water was a very significant part of our overall approach to becoming healthier. People were out suddenly jogging, and you know, you go jogging, you don't want to sit down and suddenly have at the end of a good workout, a drink that's got a couple hundred calories in it when you're trying to shave off those calories.
Right.
And water has no calories at all in it. So it was a natural tie-in for a health program. There was also, I think, a growing awareness of European culture in America, starting in the late 70s and into the 80s, where people were traveling a lot more overseas and being exposed to mm-hmm. cultures there. And the European culture has been involved with bottled water, for hundreds of years. It's not a new industry there at all.
So are we really making a swap here for water for soft drinks, I guess? I mean, are we backing away from soft drinks and going to the waters?
The numbers show that soft drinks have been on the decline for some time, while bottled water has been the most quickly growing segment of the beverage industry.
And thus Coke and Pepsi, right?
Yes, and that's why Coke and Pepsi and many others have gotten into this business, because they see that it's a long-term trend. It's not a fad. A lot of people thought it was a fad back in the...
Yeah, the Perrier days.
The Perrier days, right. But it has... You don't go backwards, usually. When you find something that's better for you, that tastes better, you feel better, you're not going to go back to old habits. And now we have a whole generation which has grown up with bottled water as part of their life. I mean, I have three boys who drank bottled water since they were... Right off after breast milk.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you drink wine?
Oh, I love wine.
Okay, there you go. Folks, this is the Food Chain Michael Olson. We've got Arthur von Wiesenberger, and we're talking water, bottled water, and municipal water, and we're going to go to the phones when we get back. We've got Dean, who wants to know about pipes, and you're invited to participate. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Water, water everywhere, and a lot of it to drink if you can afford the $11 billion a year we're spending on it. Is it true? Are we spending that much money on bottled water, Arthur?
That sounds like about the right number. It's been growing at about 10% or more per year. It's certainly been in the double-digit figures, and that's, of course, just here in the U.S. Worldwide, it's in the tens of billions of dollars higher. It's really a... It's a phenomenon in a way, because everyone's aware of the fact that we're buying water and everyone's carrying water with them. It's sort of almost like some people think of it as an accessory. You go you go out to the gym or the store and you got a bottle of water in your car. You've got a drink holder now that you can put your bottles of water in. But it really is, I think, probably in a response to certain health trends, certain desires for drinking things that are not caloric. And just the pleasure of drinking something that tastes good.
Well, amen to that. And speaking of things that taste good, let's go to Dean, who has a question about what happens when the water courses through our pipes. Dean, welcome to the Food Chain. You're talking.
Hi there.
With
Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Fire away.
Oh, hey, I was wondering what you thought about the plastic piping, you know, like PEX or the newer stuff that I know it's not new, but I'm seeing a lot of it in the houses, newer houses these days. What's your feeling on that? For what rang a bell was the thing about the lead pipes.
Got rid of the lead pipes, and now we have the PVC, right?
Well, yes, plastic, super flexible. Robert might know about that.
You know, the pipes certainly have different impacts on water, and it depends also on the acidity of the water. If you have a neutral water, it's less likely to leach out at the things it comes in contact with. So you need a pH of about 7. But the lower the pH goes, the more acidic the water becomes, the more it reaches out and leaches it at things. So again, if you've got low-grade plastics that it comes in contact with, you can have migration of plastic taste and aroma into the water. Sometimes those, if you ever notice those water bottles, the 1 gallons that they use for milk a lot in grocery stores, they're translucent, and that's a lower grade plastic called HDPE. And if you have water sitting in that type of plastic, it will start to smell over time like that plastic.
Oh, sure, okay.
So that's why you want to be in much higher grade plastic containers, such as PET, which is close to glass.
Ah, okay.
But in regard to the pipes, right now the I tend not to drink water out of the taps. I find it's good for showering and washing, but not for drinking.
Okay. And hey, if I have very hard water, like if we don't soften it, then plumbing fixtures kind of get spotted. The glasses in the dishwasher get spotted. So if that water is in condition, then it might tend to leach more out of the pipes. Is that what you're saying?
Well, when water is hard, it's usually because you have higher levels of calcium and magnesium in the water. And water softeners usually exchange those ions for sodium ions. So that's why you put salt in the water
sure.
softeners.
Have you ever heard of epitaxial nucleation?
No.
It's by me.
Not me.
Okay.
But if you're again, you want softened water for washing in, and it'll help suds up better. But it's not necessarily good for drinking because you have higher levels of sodium, and there's limits of how much salt we need to consume in our body.
Oh, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for calling, Dean. Appreciate it. And
right,
the phone number's today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We're talking with author Von Wiesenberger, who is an author of a lot of books and articles on bottled water, and also the founder of bottledwaterweb.com, and curious to know what you have to think about water, and maybe we can answer your questions here today. We're talking about the explosive growth of the bottled water industry. I have a whole bunch of bottled water here. But let's go back to Dasani and Aquafina. They are the, Coke and Pepsi of the bottled waters, correct?
That's right, yes. Dasani is owned by Coca-Cola, and Aquafina is a Pepsi brand.
And essentially, they're municipal waters.
Right, they bottle them at selected bottling plants mm-hmm. throughout the U.S.
So somebody said that one of them is getting their water out of the Detroit River.
It may have originated from a river and made its way into the municipal system, but ultimately it goes through the municipal system, treated as municipal water, and then mm-hmm. it goes into their plant where they have fairly sophisticated filtration systems.
What do they do to filter municipal water?
Well, in the case of bottling water, they usually get down to exceptional change of the water. They remove all the minerals, all the trace elements, all the chemicals. They basically end up with water which is like distilled water. And then in many cases, they'll add minerals back. And I believe with Dasani, the Coke product, they have a formula that they sell to their bottlers. And that formula has a certain amount of probably maybe some potassium and maybe a little bit of sodium, maybe some calcium, magnesium, and other elements that in small doses will give that water some kind of taste.
Taste.
Because if you just drink distilled water, generally people think it tastes pretty bland.
So it's kind of like the formula of Coca-Cola, right?
Well, I think that was probably their business model because they realized that Coca-Cola Enterprises needs to make money.
And right.
If they can sell a formula to all their franchisees, that's going to help the cash flow.
So then their Coca-Cola bottlers around the country are actually bottling these waters, adding a little bit of the minerals into it, shaking it up, and then selling it.
Exactly.
Wow.
Now, that isn't a new idea.
Of course.
In fact, Alhambra, up in the Bay Area, which is the Southern California version of that is Sparklets, they pioneered the water formula concept, where they took tap water and they took everything out of the tap water, and then they added minerals to give it a taste.
What is the difference, then, between distilled and mineralized water, then?
Well, distilled water has been run through distillation process, usually steam distillation, and that becomes water which
has no minerals.
No minerals at all, no trace elements at all, no chemicals at all. And that water is sometimes great for batteries or steam irons, but not necessarily great for drinking because, first, it tastes has a kind of a flatness and a blandness in its taste. But there's also some health professionals who believe that the water is actually in search of minerals to reconstitute itself. So if you're drinking a lot of distilled water, it's going to actually be taking minerals and various things out of your body as opposed to feeding your body with those things.
Okay, we're going to go to Lisa right now. Lisa, I guess not. Carol's got Lisa. What do you prefer? Of course, you prefer bottle that has not been distilled then.
I'm a sort of a natural kind of guy. Uh-huh. I like my food organic. I like my water organic. And by saying organic, I mean I'd like it to come out of a natural spring where it has had nothing added to it and nothing taken away from it. Because I think the less man gets involved with manipulating water, the better it is. Nature has a great way of producing some magnificent things, and water is certainly one of them.
Well, when we get back from this break, I'd like to ask you, Arthur von Wiesenberger, about some of the labels that I have in front of me. For example, here's one that says, Oregon rain, natural virgin water, never touched by the earth. So I'd like to go through a few of these labels and help you, have you help us learn a little bit from them. We will be right back. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, do stay tuned.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Cool, clean water. Boy, we've got a lot of them here. I've got 5 bottles of water that I picked up on the way into the studio today. And they all say different things. For example, I have one here that says, Oregon natural virgin water, never touched by the earth. Arthur von Wiesenberger, what the heck does that mean?
Well, I believe Oregon rain is a relatively newcomer to the bottled water industry. They started around 2004. And my understanding is that they're harvesting water, if you will, from the sky. In other words, they catch the water before it actually touches the ground. And their claim is that the ground can contaminate water, which indeed some ground can. I'm not sure up in Oregon whether that's the case, but they're basically selling rainwater, which can be pure as long as you don't have a lot of acid rain involved. And
not coming from China, right?
Yes, right. I mean, I know they've tested it for some of the contaminants that can exist, like arsenic and mm-hmm. chlorine and MTBs and things like that, and it's free
mercury.
Of all that.
Mercury.
But it's you know, an interesting concept. Again, you know, everybody sort of approaches this industry with a different concept and different idea, and rainwater is certainly something that we've all thought was pretty pure, and I think they're certainly marketing that.
Good. A couple questions on the board. Phil was, wants to know why nobody puts the pH on the labels of the drinking waters.
Phil, that's a good question. Actually, pH is on European bottles, but not here in the United States, and that's an FDA regulation that probably is not being required right now. They do report pH in the analysis of brands of water, so you can usually get those from the bottlers, but you know, again, I wish there was a lot more on a label that showed all the minerals. Personally, that would be what I'd like to see, because that's what they've done in Europe for eons.
Huh. Well, here we have Kirkland Signatures Premium Drinking Water with minerals added for taste. So that's following the Coca-Cola line.
Right. And Kirkland, is that the Costco?
Costco,
brand?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Costco, I mean, I'm a big fan of a lot of things that I get at Costco. I've bought that water because it's very inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the most affordable bottle of water, but it is a purified water.
Right, so it's a municipal water that they've purified and then added minerals to taste, right?
Correct, yeah. And they've you know, they've been able to produce it. It's very inexpensive to produce that kind of water because the biggest cost in water is the transportation of it. Moving
right.
it from a spring
from one place to the other, yeah,
to the consumer. That's where your big costs are, especially at the price of gasoline these days.
Okay, here I have two spring waters: Volvic Natural Spring Water and Arrowhead Mountain Spring Water.
Both very good waters. In fact, ironically, I'm drinking some Volvic right now, and that's a French water. It's owned by the Danone Water Group, Danone Foods in France.
Mm-hmm. Yogurt people, right?
Correct. And Volvic is a water that comes from a volcanic area in the Auvergne in France. It's a young water, as water goes. It hasn't been in the ground for a long period of time, and it doesn't have a lot of minerals in it. It just has the right amount, and it's, you know, I think one of the more refreshing tasting natural spring waters in the market. Great product. Arrowhead also a very good product from owned by another company, actually a big competitor for Danone, which is Nestle Waters in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Nestle owns about 15 domestic brands here in the U.S. and also in Canada, and then they import several European brands as well. But I think Nestle probably is the number one leader in bottled water sales in the U.S. But Arrowhead is certainly one of their leading domestic brands. And it comes from different springs in California. The original spring was down near Lake Arrowhead, but subsequently they've grown in order not to have to transport that water all across the state. They have sources up in the Bay Area as well as elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Here I have something called Aqua Mountain, pure drinking water.
Well, pure drinking water is an interesting... And I'm not familiar with Aqua Mountain, but the words, when you see drinking water on a label, that's a indication that it's probably processed water.
So something that came out of a municipal tap.
It would probably be a municipal water. Without knowing this firsthand, I don't want to say, yes, it is a municipal water, but if it doesn't say the word spring on it, or the word natural, then chances are it's probably processed municipal water.
Well, speaking of processing municipal water, Lisa wants to know about water filters that we can attach to our taps. What do you think about them? Are they worthwhile?
Some of them are effective. It depends on what problems you have with your tap water. The less expensive filters, which are usually activated carbon filters, will take out chlorine aroma,
mm-hmm.
but it may not necessarily remove heavy metals like lead. More substantial filtration systems, such as reverse osmosis, which are put under sinks and need to have maintenance in order to change those filters on a regular basis, as does the sink top carbon filters. Those will significantly change the water's chemistry by removing about 95% of what's in the water. But again, you end up with water which is absent of minerals, both good and bad. And I'm not sure if that's really what you want. I think that having some minerals in your water is an important thing, both for taste but also for health.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to ask Arthur von Wiesenberger how to be a good water consumer. There are so many different waters to select from, and all of them have really fine things to say about themselves on the label. It gets kind of confusing, so we're going to figure out what it takes to be a good consumer when we get back. Do stay tuned. Well, what do you think out there, folks? Is bottled water safer than municipal tap water? Arthur von Wiesenberger, what do you think?
I think that bottled water is safer than tap water because here in the mainland U.S., no one's ever gotten sick or died from bottled water, but we can't say the same about tap water. Back in 1993 in Milwaukee, 100,000 people got very sick from contamination of their tap water caused by cryptosporidium. And these things happen from time to time. It doesn't always happen all the time, and you know, some taps may be completely safe throughout the life of the person drinking from it.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that tap water varies from community to community, whereas bottled water, if you buy a bottle of, you were talking earlier about Volvic, if I drink a bottle of Volvic here in California or I drink that bottle in New York or in France, it's the same water because it all comes from that same source.
Other bottled waters do not, though, do they?
Some don't, and you really have to, you know, understand the brand and do your homework, and I think being a vigilant consumer is important.
Well, Marco has a quick question about minerals and distilled water. Marco, welcome to the Food Chain. Fire away.
Thank you. I always enjoy the show. You know, the tap water, as your guest mentioned, the Pure and the Brita filters, they don't get out the chlorine. They just get out the odor. So I think one of the good alternatives is to drink distilled water if you are, in fact, supplementing your diet with minerals. So that way you don't get any of the negatives. you get pure water and you get your minerals. And if you, you know, you squirt a little lemon in there, then it makes it even better for you.
Wow.
The other thing I just want to be quick about, I'm not a licensed plumber, but I am certified in PEX, which is that new plastic tubing that they're repiping houses with.
Right.
And the manufacturers claim that it does not leach at all into the water, regardless of the pH of the water. I'm just saying that's what they claim. I'm not vouching for it personally. For me, when I repiped my house, I stuck with copper, but I'm an old-fashioned guy. So anyway, thanks for the discussion.
Thank you, Marco, for the comments. Great comments. Care to comment, Arthur?
I would agree with him. I'd put lemon in my distilled water if I was drinking distilled water, because I think it would give it some more taste. And yes, if you're getting, you know, supplements, you're taking supplements with you know, minerals, that's probably going to help you out. But
we're not mineralizing drinking water for nutritional reasons. We're mineralizing water for taste reasons, right?
That's the primary reason. And one of the things about tap water is I think people need to realize that we drink very little bit of the water that comes out of your tap, about 0.5%. The rest of the tap water is used for cleaning and flushing and watering lawns and washing cars. So the communities are addressing a lot of resources to clean up tap water when a very very small amount is actually used for human consumption.
Well, Arthur von Wiesenberger, tell us a little bit about what we need to know to be smart consumers of drinking water.
Well, I think you need to go to your local store and look at what's available and maybe do a water tasting. That's a great way to start. It's also a fun way to start and get different brands of bottled water and have your family sit down and taste them, maybe in a blind arena so you don't know what you're tasting.
Mm-hmm.
And first find out what tastes best to you, because if it tastes good, you're going to drink more of it. And that's, I think, the important thing about bottled water is we know it's a healthful drink, and you drink more water, you're going to be in better shape. And then if you find a taste you like, read the label carefully. Look for the words, if drinking natural products are important to you and organic products, look for the words natural and spring on the water, because they do have to come from a natural spring. They're regulated by the FDA.
So if they say natural spring water, it's natural spring water.
Correct. If it says drinking water or purified water other words.
How about virgin water?
Well, that's a little different.
Oregon, huh?
Yeah, it's Oregon. But since they talk about the fact that it's rainwater, it is, from what I understand. I've not been to their source, so I don't know firsthand. But it would appear that that is coming from precipitation.
That's what they say.
Yep. But again, if you read the labels, you'll know what you're getting. There's nothing wrong with contacting the company to ask more questions.
Ask questions. The more questions you ask, the better informed you're going to be. Arthur von Wiesenberger, thank you so much. You can check them out by going to bottledwaterweb.com. That's the industry portal for the bottled water industry. Arthur, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Michael. It's been a real pleasure.
Real pleasure. Enjoyed it. And thank you out there. See you all next week for more What's Eating What Radio right here on The Food Chain.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.